Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Celine Calvaris, log entry. The momentum is ours. I successfully placed a tracker on the escaped Reds, and after evading that parasite Ace Bellerin, I reconvened with my brother. We are now equipped. Reverie has fitted my gauntlet with a prototype scanner, and we've identified our primary target, RO55. The tracker confirms he fled the city, en route to the Calypso derelict. But before we could depart, I sensed deception. I ordered Dorian to trace the leader's communications. Dorian had tried to hide it, but I saw the redacted gold-level logs. He finally sealed the room and showed me the truth. Surveillance footage. RO55. Meeting with Dorian, my brother, a traitor, communicating with this Red for 4 years. End log.
Strength is duty.
Duty is order.
Order is gold.
Order is gold.
We are going to go back a few months ago. Let's start there. Celine is taking a break, and she doesn't have Dex with her. She is walking throughout the Violet District, and we see, and there are the sounds of music, and musicians are along the street, like tapping on different instruments and things like that. And it is a very happy district compared to where she was coming from, where it was this gold district, very uniform. She had just got off of work, and she went I went home real quick to change. She's not wearing what she usually does. She does not want to be seen. And so I'm wearing this long, dark overcoat, but it's very in fashion for with what people wear in the Violet District, so
very fashionable, of course.
Yeah, she's done this before.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't want to be noticed, so she's not going to be, like, too overt about being conspicuous, if that makes sense. So her head is down, arms, mostly most of her body is covered, and she heads into a hotel. It's a nice hotel, and she doesn't check in. Room is already ready, and she... I head into the elevator, and I go up to the fifth floor, like I usually do. And I'm inside the elevator. The heart rate is going fast.
Is she alone in the elevator?
Am I alone in the elevator?
Mm-hmm.
The elevator has a couple in there already. And they're drunk, and they're kind of sloppy on each other. And she's just... I'm off to the side. It just... body turned away from them. I can hear them. Okay.
With their public displays of affection.
Yep. And they're next to her, and she's just looking at her gold watch. Okay, come on. Her eyes, like, dart over for a second to look at them. And then it gets to the third floor. They kind of stumble out, laughing and giggling. And she watches them as they go. And then we get up to... they leave. She lets out, like, a breath of release. And then we get up to the fifth floor. Okay. Then you hear the ding as the elevator doors open. And she goes to the double doors at the end of the hall. This is room 511. And she gives it three knocks, two knocks, and then one, as if it's a code. She waits to hear that same knock back before the door should open.
And you do, in perfect, almost too perfect, synchronization with yours.
And then I wait for him to open the door. Part of the plan every time we meet.
The door slowly opens inward. Who do we see?
We see a dark, brown skin man. He has a white, clean... Can you have a clean-shaven goatee? Like, it's just, it's very,
yeah.
like, trimmed
yeah.
and nice. It's short.
A well-groomed. Yeah, well-groomed.
Well-groomed? Okay. Yeah. Listen, I don't know. Okay.
It's all good. It's all good.
He has light brown eyes, very symmetrical face, charming, like, higher cheekbones, full lips, short hair kind of faded, and he's wearing, right now he's wearing, like, a dark purple silk two-piece outfit. He looks very comfortable. And he has like a book in his hand. Like one hand is open and looks like one of many poetry books that he just reads a lot of the time. And I see him as I step inside. Hi, Kay.
He whispers in your ear, "You're right on time."
Aren't I always? Yeah. I've just had a hell of a day, so I could use some rest and relaxation, as my brother likes to put it.
He's a smart boy.
Yeah.
Why don't you take that jacket off, kick off your shoes, and tell me about your day.
Okay. Take off my coat.
He takes them and they...
Yeah.
He tosses them to the back, and there's a device that immediately catches the jacket and, like, hangs it safely.
I got a visit from my mother today at work. And you know the great Lucinda Kelvaris.
The queen bee.
The queen indeed.
Mm.
She took me around, and we walked around the quad. Ironically, we walked around her statue. That goddamn statue they made for her.
I've always wondered if she liked the statue. If being around herself for so long is a treat or a curse herself. Imagine walking around and just seeing yourself not just in reflections, but in everyday objects. And
I'm sure she doesn't hate it.
Hmm.
I remember the day they erected it, and there was a whole ceremony. She was proud. I could see it on her face. So we walked around that and once again got another lecture about promotion and leveling up and looking after my brother and making sure we're not tarnishing the Kelvaris name.
That's something that's I've always found peculiar. I understand the Golds and their long lines of history. I understand it. But
yeah.
It just fascinates me. You all try to lift everyone else up and be this shining example, but you yourselves are just as afflicted with pride as anyone else.
Hey, we're not perfect. I think we're just seen as that.
Hmm. Well, so few of them like to step down to the lowly folk like you do.
You think I'm stepping down?
No, you're not stepping. You're swan diving. Fearless, bold, ambitious.
You don't have to pepper me with compliments. That's not what I come here for.
Oh, I thought you liked the words.
I like action more than words. And then she's going to go to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts to, like, undress, starts to take his top off.
He knows this game.
Mm-hmm.
He has played this game before and knows... This is when Celine wants to take control, then lose control. So I think he opens his chest out and lets it all happen with a warm, inviting smile on his face.
And then we fade to black, of course.
Yes.
And it's about 3 minutes later. I'm just kidding.
3 minutes.
It's about an hour later. They are now, like, there is a hot tub that's, like, overlooking the city. There's a balcony with, like, a hot tub on it. And there's like, a privacy shade around it, too. So yeah, they can see out, but no one can see in.
Correct. And I think it's also illuminated with these little floating orbs that resemble fireflies that give it, mm-hmm. a very calm and relaxing atmosphere. A little bit of nature and a vast metropolis.
Yeah, but just, you know, none of it's real.
It may not be real to one's eyes, but sometimes people feel things that are real on the inside.
Yeah. I mean, sure. But I've seen the real thing. I've been out of the city. Have you ever been to the beach off-world? And seen real fireflies at night?
He looks up, closes his eyes. I can see them on the inside when you describe them to me. I have not been able to have such a gift, but...
Right, I'm sorry. You're right.
No, don't apologize to me. You have nothing to apologize for, because you, Celine, my raven in the night... My muse, you are a gift. So don't you fucking apologize for nothing. Describe the way the sand feels to me.
I could take you so that I won't have to describe it to you. You'd be able to feel it yourself. You can put it in one of your songs, in your work.
There's a spark in his eyes when you say that. Mm-hmm. It almost looks childish, like you've broken through his... very suave demeanor, and you've seen the child that grew up in the Violet District who was forced to make smiles and forced to use his talents rather than just simply enjoy them. I would love that. When are we going?
Oh, okay, so she leans back. Oh, okay, so you agree. I didn't think that you... Okay.
Are you kidding? Any chance I could have to go out there with you, just you and me, feeling sand, watching real waves crash and taking in a completely different kind of air.
It's nice. I just don't want to. It'll make you want to stay and just escape everything. And it's tempting.
All good things are tempting. He opens his arms out and stretches. That's what makes them beautiful.
Yeah, she, like, looks over his body as he does that. There's, like, violets have a type of, like, the way that reds were created, all violets have a type of, like, pheromone that comes off of them. Kind mm-hmm. of, like, it's just kind of, like, this attractive scent about them. And they can kind of control the levels of it. I don't think he ever forces that on her. I think it's more natural what they have, but they have that ability.
Yeah. He would only ever use it if she asked.
Mm-hmm. And so, I'm sorry I suggested it. Now that I'm thinking about the logistics of it all, it's...
Logistics? Come on.
Yeah.
Dreamers don't worry about logistics.
See, when you say things like that, I get confused, you know?
Not everything has to be planned, Celine.
I mean, we've had this conversation before.
Sometimes you can just take each other's hands and jump and see where you land. Not literally, be a long way down, but you know what I'm saying. When's the last time you did something without overthinking it?
You always have to think about the cost at the end of the day. Do you not?
I guess sometimes I do. But I always think the risks... are worth it. If I scrape up my knee, if I put his fans across his face, break, hurt my jaw, falling down, at least I can say that I tried jumping to reach it. Instead of walking past that ledge and wondering, what's on the other side? What color's the water?
I mean, I think you have the luxury to think like that. That's
the luxury or the curse to think like that.
Is it a curse?
He sits in that for a moment. If dreams are a curse, I think we're all caught in them. I think it's what makes us human.
I don't think you would want to hear about my dreams.
Come now. You're actually quite elegant with your descriptions.
It's childish. It's childish.
The best imaginations start in childhood, and you shouldn't put those down.
Well?
I won't tell anybody, you know. I won't, I promise.
And she kind of, you know, is looking in the water that they're in, and there's steam coming up. There's like rose petals and different flower petals inside, and she's just like playing with them. When I was 10 years old, I saw one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
He leans in. Tell me.
I didn't think I was supposed to see it, though. She's still, like, picking at the flowers, looking down at the water.
Doesn't that make it all the more incredible?
It was incredible. My brother, as you know, he went through a tragedy, a trauma, mm-hmm. when he was 8 years old.
You told me. That's rough. But seems like he's fine with it.
So my parents had the red retired, the one who caused it. And the way they retired him, they used a sable.
His eyes widen.
They are not myths. They're not just scary stories we tell the children at night.
You saw one of them?
I did. And it was beautiful.
Tell me what made it beautiful.
Their movements, their silence. It was like watching the ballet at its best.
A silent death.
I've never seen anything like it since. And that's what I dream about.
Seeing that sable again?
Being like that sable. Being so good at what you do, no one notices until you're gone. Right
like
now,
the beauty of theater.
Everybody yeah. notices everything I do.
And I can relate.
Yes, you can. The pressure I have from my family, from my mother especially, from the academy, from the guard, the pressure on me is so heavy some days that I can't breathe. And I think back to when I was 10 years old and I see that sable, and they were free.
Free's a word, I guess, but I would say they were, it sounds like, not so much free, but they were unburdened.
And, semantics.
Now I'm the one going logistics. Oh my gosh. Oh.
And she's still kind of like picking at the things. And she said, this is why I don't tell people. I think maybe Dorian knows, but I don't tell people about this dream because it would be irresponsible.
You see yourself as a sable?
Yeah. I wish to. But of course, I know that I cannot be anything other than pure gold, as my mother says.
There isn't a law about having dreams. Yet, I don't think.
There's no spoken law about having dreams. But in gold society, it's really not about what is said and what's written. It's about what's not said. It's about what's whispered in corners. So
you wish to be unburdened from everything and just be able to dance to your own music. Thank you for sharing that with me. I think that's a beautiful dream. And I think you could make it happen.
What, become a sable? No.
Well, there we go with logistics again. It's not the sable itself, I think. I think it's what it represents that you are drawn to. It represents...
I think it's, what does it represent?
Being your most authentic self and being strong enough to say, this is me, and I don't care what anyone else says.
Don't you think part of it is its DNA, no? I can't become a Sable. I can't become a Violet and suddenly have your abilities and strengths.
Nor could I have yours, but we can always aim to be the best that we can with the cards that we're given. And maybe pick up some cards along the way.
Mm.
He gestures over a floating, like, little tray.
Yeah.
That brings you a bubbling violet blue drink with a bendy straw in it.
What is this? This is new.
Just some champagne with some exotic fruit mixed in that I wanted to share with you. You shared something with me.
And you made this yourself?
I wouldn't say I made it. Let's just say I requested it in a certain form and paid very well to have it made so that when you take a sip, I'm going to see Celine Kilvaris smile.
Challenge accepted. And she already smiled when she said challenge accepted, so she lost immediately. And then goes to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is delicious. As she smiles.
Now that right there, no Sable could have nearly a perfect smile as that. That's yours and yours alone.
Well, thank you. Coming from a Violet, that's the highest of compliments.
Not just a Violet.
K.L. the Great.
Only as great as the muse I chase at night.
And so we spend a little bit more time before our skin starts to get pruney.
And we get woozy.
Yeah, she starts a little bit. And then I think she's a little bit woozy and she's, you know, not slurring per se, but you can kind of tell a little drowsy. And she says, I'm supposed to go back home tonight. I told Dorian that I'd just be here for a few hours. But her eyes are, like, drooping.
Why don't you stay? He's a big boy. He'll be all right.
Well, he's watching Dex, that's why.
Dex is far more capable of taking care of himself than any of you.
You're right. Just wake me up in a few hours. How about that?
He brings you over to, like, the large, like, fancy, like circular-shaped bed with, like, almost, like, these pillows that are all these different shapes that almost make it look like stars. And the drifting firefly light sort of follow the two of you to give, like, a soft glow to the room. When the last firefly goes out, I'll make sure you're up.
Okay. And I imagine he lays down with her. She's, like, holding... Mm-hmm. Like she's using him as a pillow, and then
yep.
She, like 15 minutes later, she is asleep. And you could see it like on her face, like she's tired, like really needed this.
Important question.
Yeah.
Does Celine snore?
That'd be funny if the role is an Oracle role, because I don't know if she does. Okay, listen. This is our world and we can make up anything we want.
Yeah.
If she does snore, it's not this kind of crazy chainsaw.
No, and I don't think he would say anything.
Let's see. Let me see. Let me do Oracle rules. 50 and above, she does, but it's light.
Okay.
Well, she does, everybody. I also rolled a 69. How appropriate.
I say how appropriate for the setting and this little flashback.
So she does, but it's a very light one.
It's soft.
Mm-hmm. As she goes to sleep and KL can see like a piece on her face that's just not there when she's fully up and her brain has to work at a full capacity. And she finally gets to rest.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
A few months ago, Dorian was running late. He had an appointment that he was very much looking forward to, but some work back at his lab held him up, and his father called, and his father loves to go on and on and on. And he acquiesced, but we see Dorian in a sort of, I guess, the equivalent of like a lift, like sci-fi vehicle. And he has to confirm with the driver multiple times. Yes, this is the address. It's in the Red District, yes.
Sir, are you sure?
I am absolutely okay. Certain. And listen,
positive.
There's,
yeah. Okay.
There's more credits in it for you if you get me there fast.
Yes, sir. Steps on it.
We get a look at what the Red District looks like. Far, far from the grace of the Golden District. The lights and the glamour of the violet, the order and the construction of the blue. The Red District is what would happen if an industrial park was left neglected and yet somehow still persevered and expanded. There's no polished streets. There's rusted dirt roads and wasteful metal of structures that have long since decayed, but have somehow been reconstructed over and over again. A never-ending project. Despite all of that, they've built communities, one of which is in a little place called the Pulse Lounge. Wedged between two of the larger factory areas, it's a tiny little building. A stairway that spirals down into almost like a speakeasy.
Mm-hmm.
Except the majority of the clientele here are Reds. And we see this entranceway from Dorian's perspective. His hood up to not draw too much attention. He sees the table in the back. A series of some books, a multi-tiered version of chess with some other sci-fi globules floating around it that are tethered to these strings. Mm-hmm. Seems like a nerd's paradise in a sense.
Yeah.
And sitting on the opposite side of that round table is a Red. He's in a more refined Red uniform, elegant work shirt and pants with a utility belt. He's got his work, like this long work apron in like a deep burgundy. Despite that, he has a very lithe and tall form and these curious green eyes that light up when he sees his friend. I'm so sorry I'm late.
He says, oh, my friend is here. My friend is here. Come, come. Come here. Come. Sit down. Sit down.
I'm so sorry to have been late. My father called when I was working, and
he
goes on and on about...
Is he still working on that project that you told me about before?
Ah, yes, he's working on...
The some type of upgrade something, I forgot.
He's working more into the spectacle of these larger, construction bots with large arms that can float and carry them. He's calling them Titans.
Interesting. I'm always weary when a gold names something so grand.
Well, that's Magnus Galvarez for you. He lives in grandeur. He means well, but he's always got his heads in the clouds. I think that's where I get it.
well, if you get it from, I would love to meet him one day.
That would be a day. You know,
would be.
Despite everything revolving around this, I think he'd like you.
And you see, he gets a little serious on his face. He looks down at the table, and he has, like, little coins that he's kind of been playing with. He goes, you know, Dorian, that day might come sooner than we think, you know?
Really?
Well, I think I will see this day in my lifetime.
I'd like that. You know, I think that... I personally think that your sort of perspective from being a Red and your insights would be of great assistance to my father if he's looking to go into more work with full automatons, not what Reds are, going into deep, more into robotics. I think having a Red's insight, I think, would be would bring so much to the experiments. And
he reaches across the table, puts his hand on your shoulder. If we had just 100 more minds that thought like you, my friend, oh, the city would be a better place.
You'd probably need more than 100, I think. But
I didn't want to be too selfish.
come. I'll set this up. And as the conversation goes on, Dorian sets up the multi-tiered game, which looks as though there's a little bit of Risk, a little bit of Twilight Imperium, a little bit of chess, where like it's multiple tiers of strategy, deception, bluffing, chance.
Yeah. And you guys begin to play, and are you ready to lose again?
One of these days, Ross, I will beat you. I've gotten close.
You've gotten close, but I have one of the brightest minds in the city. Even brighter than you.
Not from, hopefully I'd like to think we brought out the best in each other's brains.
I hope so. We've learned a lot from each other. Okay, no more excuses. And he gets into the zone. Then you guys can start to play.
Yeah, I think they let the drolls of their existence, this technician from the Gold District and a worker from the Red District, that moniker disappears, and it's just two friends playing a game. And the rest of the world goes away. It's like for a moment they're children playing with blocks and throwing things in the sand and laughing, flipping tables when they lose and demanding a rematch. And it goes on for several hours. And as we see the victory chips that start in the middle.
Yep.
Ross's side begins to pile up. Dorian has a few, but they are dwarfed by the amount that Ross has garnered. And we also see that Ross, being a Red, does not consume any sort of alcohol. He consumes a fuel that just sort of regenerates all of their mechanical pieces. Dorian, surprisingly, this is one of the few places Dorian actually drinks, because he's with a friend and he doesn't have to be a big proper Gold here. He can just be himself. And he's definitely a little drunk. He's had a few drinks too many. And
is he a lightweight?
Oh, he's absolutely a lightweight.
We see Ross pushes all of his chips to the middle. And he doesn't usually do this.
Are you baiting me, old friend?
He says, no, my friend. I fear I am quite serious. I'm going all in this time.
You're going for the fool's gambit, are you?
It has to be done. At least once in a lifetime.
You know, I respect the move, and do you know why?
Tell me.
I was thinking the same thing. But I have so few pieces to lose. You have almost the entire pot.
Yes. And then the smile drops from his face, and he's just looking down. He seemed kind of zone out a bit, maybe even looks a little bit nervous. Because yes.
What's wrong? Are you getting nervous to make the move? Come now.
Yes. You, Dorian, you have no idea how nervous I am. Yes.
My friends, sometimes we are the anvil and sometimes we have to be the hammer. So come swinging down, my friend.
Okay. Still kind of a dour look on his face. He does the final move and he's not even thinking about it and he beats you once again.
Yeah, it's very much the two little tethered orbs go at each other and Dorian's immediately shatters.
Yeah. But he still looks, even though he just won, he just doesn't have that happy look on his face that he usually does.
Normally, you'd be rubbing this in my face. This is a long losing streak for me.
Oh. Well, he looks at his watch. It's almost time.
Time to go? We've only gotten 3 rounds, and normally we get to best of 7.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you're leaving me to go play this with someone else.
No, never, never, no. He looks left to right.
I think Dorian will clock that, even though he's drunk. Don't worry, no one knows I'm here. Don't. It's okay. I figured out how to do this perfectly, but...
No, you're brilliant, and... But I wasn't kidding when I said I'm going all in.
Yes, I know, the fool's gambit. You had enough resources to make it work, but...
I'm not talking about this fool's gambit, friend. I'm talking about something else. And he, like, powers down the game and the graphics, and you see his face, clearly.
Dorian holds the drink and, like, sips from it.
Tell me more.
You know, we cannot dream. That is not part of our processing, but... If I could dream, I would liberate every single red in this room and in this city. He looks kind of nervous. He leans forward.
Don't worry. It will
be done, my friend.
Ross, I know we've mused about all the what-ifs and the if X then Y strategies for something like that, but it's difficult to make those moves when you don't have the cards.
There was one day when you discussed about cleaning reds. You talked of how difficult it would be. And
it would be difficult because, as I've said, reds are not that dissimilar to humans. Each one of your codes is different.
Like there a are fingerprint. No
correct. There's no two that are the same. Even...
And hypothetically speaking, if I were to figure this out... Friend, what would you do?
Well, I'd hope you'd tell me you were going to do this, and I could tell you, Ross, I don't want to see the Greys or my sister hunting you.
I'm going all in, my friend.
Please tell me you're joking. I want this to be better. I want this to be better for you and for everyone else here in this district.
Yes, but you don't want it like I do. You are my good friend, but you have not lived my life or the lives of any of the Reds here in this district.
You are 1,000% correct. I have no idea what that's like. But what I do have is a platform I can go to. Let me talk to my father about this. Maybe I could get him an audience with you.
He's
the only one from my family I would trust to talk to you that I'm not concerned would kill you outright.
I fear the time for talking is done. This is the fool's gambit.
But you do understand what happens if you fail the fool's gambit, right?
Then I will need your help. Dorian, please. Please.
Can you at least tell me you'll think on it and reach out to me again before you begin?
Dorian.
Please.
He leans in. It takes your hand. You're one of the best friends I've made in this city. And I will need your help when the time comes. Please.
You do realize that puts me between you and my family.
I understand.
I wish I could make them understand is the problem.
I've seen too much suffering for too long. And while you talk with your father, I have another friend who comes in, beaten, brain dented in by a Grey, while you talk.
If, if you can give me more time, maybe I could figure out how we could use this method with the, like, perhaps I could slow down the corruption that's happening with the brain, with the neural networks. I can find a way to fix that. And with that, we could present the Reds in a whole new light. And...
My friend, we don't have any more time.
Not even for one more game?
I always have time for one more game. Hmm?
All right. Ross, if I beat you this time, we table this talk for another day. If you beat me, you have my word. I will help you in any way that I can.
Okay. And he has a small smile, but there is like a sadness in his eyes, but he just smiles at you. He backs up, turns on the hologram, gets the game back up and running.
I think this might be interesting to put as an oracle.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Could be a face danger.
You know, yeah, it could be a face danger.
Up to
I
you.
I think it's...
Either works.
I'd rather do the odds here, because I think it is... But I am going to put the odds in his favor. I think Ross is better at the game. So I think it's more of a... It's more of a 70-30. I think...
What's the question that we're asking? How... Yeah.
Will Dorian beat Ross at this game? And therefore, I think it's 30 or lower. Dorian wins. 31 up, Ross wins.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and roll a D100 and see what comes up.
Okay.
Oh my God. That is another 69.
What's funny is that we both rolled 69, but also he lost again.
Yeah. I think...
Yeah, what's going over your mind as you were seeing that he is beginning to win? Like, you know the move he's about to make to just crush you again.
Yes, I think...
It's almost like he doesn't want to do it, but...
It's very much, you know you can take the king in just one move, but you keep stalling. And I think it gets to that point where Dorian's a little more emotional. He's had a little more drink. He's like, just do it, Ross. You've had me lanced and cornered for 3 rounds now. Don't do me the disservice of a pity victory. Just finish it.
And he does. With the flick of his wrist, we see like orb-like creature kind of go into your smash it.
Mm-hmm. And I think we see this image of the entire game board disintegrating as it's the last game and all goes back into its little device, and watching this little game world fall apart and like the two of them looking at each other, it's this moment of like, there isn't any going back. And well played, friend.
I've had years of practice.
There's a really good chance that this doesn't work. And we both face retirement.
He just nods at you. He has like the steely determination in his eyes.
But since when has that stopped dreams, huh? I'd like to see you have those, my friend.
I'd like to see us all have them. Everyone in this room to be liberated.
Well, I have to get going. I have a seminar in the morning, a whole new regimen of blues to train, and on simple neuro network understanding, but these were some great games, Ross, and...
The best I ever played.
Please be careful.
He nods at you, he goes to stand up with you, takes one of your hands, pulls you into a hug, another arm goes around you and it's tight. You're one of my best friends in this city. I do not regret meeting you.
Likewise.
No matter what happens, you will always be a good friend to me.
No matter what. As Dorian closes his eyes and just tucks him tight. And I think that's where we pull the camera away. As the two of them leave the Pulse Lounge. One descending. And one ascending.
Thanks for listening to Iron Rising, a Starforge actual play. I'm Maya Wilson, and I've been Celine Kelvaris.
I'm Michael Gilbert, and I've been Dorian Kelvaris. And together, we bring the world of Hyperion City and the Law of Seven to life.
If you're enjoying the series, leave a review or comment wherever you listen. It helps more than you know.
We also have a companion blog for those who'd like to dive a little deeper into the Forge. All links are in the episode description.
And we'll catch you in the next one. Is that where we're going to end it?
I think that's where we end this flashback session. Oh. Wow.
Take a breather, my friend.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
That was something.
That was something.